Should we just start? We gotta go back.
Huh?
Well, let's start.
Well, let's just start. Let's
start.
We gotta go back.
Good evening. I'm gonna call the Tax Conference Committee for House File 3729, Senate File 3327 to order. And I guess it's good to be back, Senator Bach. We thought what we'd do tonight, Senator Bach and I had a little bit of time to talk today in a hallway, and the House is planning to take up the K-12 bill still on the floor tonight and has allotted, I think, 3 or 4 hours for debate. So we're not going to be here too long tonight, but we thought it would be a good idea to hear from Senate Counsel and House Research to maybe tell us quickly what the same and similar provisions are. And, Mr. Chair, I think we could adopt those if another senator shows up and if everyone's comfortable. But if not, we can wait till tomorrow. But I think it might be a good use of our time to hear from the commissioner about what the governor thinks about this bill, and then also to just maybe make assignments about provisions that are in this bill that are close or could get close, and legislators who want to work them out so we could get a lot of work done before we meet again. So what do you think, Mr. Chair?
Madam Chair, I was just picked up my gavel, and I noticed my handle was loose, and I noticed it screws in and out. I didn't even know that about it, but it's a good thing I tightened it, because I would have hated to have been wrapping it and have it come over and hit you. So that's what I know for sure. I think it's fine to get the same and similar out of the way. That would probably be helpful to the process.
Okay. Maybe I think word has been sent that we want to hear from the commissioner tonight, so that would be good to get that done. And if Mr. Michael and Ms. Soft want to join us at the table, I think that's probably the best use of our time. And I do think this bill, everybody in the Senate and the House has worked really hard to make this not a big controversial tax bill. And there's a lot of members' provisions that people care about a lot, so it'd be nice to try to get some of these things done. You know, do you want to adopt all these, or do you want to hold on them?
I don't want to adopt everyone, because I see the Lanesboro one, we got a little difference on.
Well,
there's significantly different.
Is there any that are the same? Are there any that are the exact same?
Let's do them at least, yeah. Who must we walk through? Before we can vote.
We don't have one yet. He was handing them off.
Senator Bach and I are making a public plea for a senator. If someone can find a senator who's on this conference committee or sees them, send them in, because we can't adopt these provisions unless we have 3 people on each side of the table. So we do need another senator to help us clear the decks on these. So who'd like to start? Senator Bach and I were just saying, I think the best way is to just do the same first. Not the same and similar, just the same, so we could get those actually adopted and not have to go back to them. Because the similars tend to create a little debate.
And we can just skip over and do the same thing.
We're working off this?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Baker, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Karen Baker, House Research. And I'd like to mention the very first listing, assessor's duties and responsibilities. That bill was passed on the House floor today, and it was the Senate version. And so we can take it out of the tax bill, assuming that the governor signs it, because it's on its way to the governor's desk. So those first 4 sections, we don't have an effective date on one of the sections, but it was kind of deemed that it wasn't worth putting that on the House floor. And, you know, I mean, so, yeah. So, you know, I think we should just assume that those 4 sections are fine. Moving on to the Marshall County, well, should we take the manufactured home?
We're looking for same. No, just same.
I'm sorry.
Let's not do the similar.
Okay.
Let's just do the same.
The house section 14, that is the Marshall County flood damaged farms. This is a provision of representative leaders, and it is the same in the Senate, and it's just to let certain farmers that had to move off their land continue to get the homestead if they meet certain criteria. This is patterned after another provision that you've passed in past years. So, do you want to mention the boarding?
Sure. And then, Madam Chair, members, I'm Joanne Zoff from Senate Council. There's an identical provision in one part of the section one, Article 1, Section 15 of the House bill that's also in the Senate, and that has to do with the agricultural classification for horse boarding facilities. And then there's another cluster of sections toward the bottom of your list that are all a number of Department of Revenue technical provisions in the property tax area that are identical in both bills. That's in the second to the last cell there.
And that is it for exactly, you know, for same provisions for the property tax.
We're keeping track. We're just waiting for another
well,
vote.
Do you want to go?
Okay, and we can move all of these once we've got another person in the room. Yeah. Reps and Marquardt will make a motion for all of them as soon as we can.
Okay.
Welcome.
Madam Chair, on the second page of your handout is the income corporate and estate tax issues. As you'll notice, they are all the same on that page.
That's nice. That's good. Okay. Very nice.
Madam Chair, you must have had time to look at our bill. You were able to get yours lined up.
Yes. Following your lead. Okay. So I guess we can.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Article 4, Sections 1 through 5 and 8 through 11 on the House side, and Senate Article 2, Sections 1, 5, 6, 8, 11, 17 through 19, and 26 are all the Department of Revenue provisions, with the exception that we both impose the heritage tax on manufactured homes. So all of those sections are identical. And Article 5, Section 2, Article 2, Section 26, the Rochester Food and Beverage Tax is strictly technical language, and that's identical in both bills. I would like to point out Article 4, Section 6, the effect is identical. It's just that one of us says that consists of a sole member, and one of us says if it consists of a sole member, pick some language, it doesn't matter.
Do note that is a provision that has costs, though.
Right.
Right.
But we may not be doing
it. We can't adopt the next one either, I don't think. Because we want to hear from the governor.
There was three raises.
Well, that is not, I'm not sure that.
Otherwise, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Ms. Dalton?
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Did you just say, okay, the LLC one we understand. Did you also comment on the Rochester Lodging?
My understanding, Madam Chair, is the Rochester lodging tax. It's similar, however, the House requires a vote on the bonds if the lodging and food and beverage tax will not pay at least 20% of the bonds. The Senate has no referendum requirement at all. My understanding from the City of Rochester is that has no effect, that those two taxes are going to pay 100% of the bonds, and so there will not be a referendum held.
Okay, so that one's not in the same bucket. You must have been, Ms. Dalton, commenting on the food and beverage then?
The food and beverage one, it's only a technical language change, and that's identical for both.
Okay. Senator Bach, Mr. Chair, as you know, we both heard today, and we're waiting for the commissioner, that the governor wants referendums on food and beverage taxes now, which, you know, Ms. Dalton, can you tell us, has any city ever been required to have a referendum on a food and beverage tax?
Madam Chair, not in the time that I've been doing sales taxes.
Okay. Well, we might want to hold on that one to let the commissioner weigh in, even though they're the same. What do you think, Senator? Want to hold on that one? Okay. Okay, so public finance. There's some items that are the same in there.
Yep.
And I think Senator Bach and I both appreciate anyone, as you did, telling us if there's a cost on the item, because I think we want to hold those off even if they're the same. It's off for Mr. Michael, whoever.
On the first section, this watershed district borrowing, there is a difference between the two bills where the House limits it to the larger watershed districts, and the Senate does grants it to all watershed districts. So we'll pass over that. The economic development districts for EDAs are the same. The two Job Z provisions are from the department's bill, and they're identical. The Met Council transit bonding, the difference is just purely technical, but there is, I think, in the out biennium, a small cost to that if you're holding on things that have costs even the out biennium. The higher education bond allocation in Section 6 and 7 in the House and 10 and 11 in the Senate are identical. Sections 8 to 16 in the House and Sections 12 to 20 in the Senate on these changes to Chapter 216, the Jobs Bill Energy Improvement Financing, is the same. At least since the House bill, some of the advocates for this have come and said there's a couple more technical fixes that they would like to do on this financing, so the Conference Committee will probably want to consider that. The landfall TIF is the same in both bills. The Wayzata TIF is different in that the Senate grants the ability for them to delay receipt of the increment for 9 years, which the House does not.
Okay, thank you. Special taxes, and then I think the cash flow one we don't need to go through because we're going to hold on that, I think, right? Okay, so where?
Special taxes,
right. Oh, way up there.
Yeah, both special taxes and use deeds are identical.
Okay, so that's this top line plus these two. Okay, so everyone got your highlighters ready? Because Ms. Representative Marquardt's going to make the motion here, and if anything's wrong, conferees need to say something. If anything Representative Marquardt says is not what we're agreeing to, then we'll pull it out. So.
All right.
So, Marquardt.
I will move then.
Pull that mic up close so everyone can hear the motions. Please. Thanks.
Madam Chair and members, I will make the motion to move on House Article 1, Section 1, 4, 6, and 7.
No, we're not. Actually, we're not going to do those.
But I think that, Chair, did you want to say that?
Don't need that in the bill.
I understand the staff is saying we don't need it, but I'd like to have it in there because until it's signed into law, I'd like it as in many places as possible, and I think the cities and counties and assessors would appreciate that it's traveling lots of places. So unless Senator Bach, unless you object, the governor hasn't signed it yet. What's your preference?
Do we want the effective date?
Sure. I mean, we can agree to that right now.
Take the Senate language?
All right.
So Representative Marquardt was wrong right away, first motion?
The simpler it could be.
I might not be right about that. But.
And Mr. Chair, I'm a veteran here, too, making an early rookie mistake. I will try again. So I will withdraw my earlier motion here, and I will move The Senate Article 4, Sections 1, 4, 13, and 14. Then move House Article 1, Section 14. House Article 1, part of Section 15, dealing with horse boarding. House Article 9, Sections 1 through 13, and 15 through 18. Okay, we're moving to the second page then. Moving Article 3 on the House side, Sections 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 27.
22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, 22. That's right.
Thank you for
that. And 27. So.
Okay.
And then, next page. House Article 4, Sections 1 through 5 and 8 through 11.
More Senate. Oh, then we better not do it. But okay.
Raises money, it's fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
Oh, Reed did too.
And then I don't think we were going to do anything with the Rochester lodging right now. Nothing there. Okay.
No.
And then on the next page, move.
I'm sorry. Senator Bach, did you follow on that? We're, on that page we were just on was the first line, the first item, even though it raised a little, and not the remaining three. Is that what you have?
That's my understanding.
I'm just looking at your pink highlighter over there. And
says
the third
cost,
one.
Says cost money.
Oh, okay, just making sure.
Highlight.
Thank you.
Okay. So then on the next page, Article 7, House Article 7, Section 2, Section 3, Section 4, Section 6, Section 7, Sections 8 to 16, and Section 17.
Is there?
Is that right?
Madam Chair, on Article 7, Sections 8 to 16, is there some fix on that language? Is that what I have written down?
Yeah.
Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, we need to add some additional, actually it's additional sections to these, beside these sections, so.
I will, as part of my motion, I'll direct staff to make the necessary additions.
Senator Bach, is that all right? Everybody? Or do you want to hold it off?
As long as it's technical, it's fine.
Yeah.
Next page, we are the motion to move House Article 6 and House Article 10. They're on the top. And then House Article 11, Section 3, House Article 11, Section 4.
Oh, that's a revenue raiser.
Mr. Chair, did anybody else want to take something out there or add something in that is the same here? Yeah. Rep. Yeah. Loeffler.
Madam Chair, since we didn't comment on it, under the income, corporate, and estate tax issues, there was at the bottom it says other estate tax provisions in the House book can be dropped since it passed. And since you kind of wanted the other language repeated, I just wondered if you.
Mr. Michael, did you want to comment on that? That's the Betzold-Hortman bill. That's really important that if we don't get that in, we could potentially lose a lot of state money. Would you like to carry it here as well?
Well, is it, Madam Chair, is it in the pension bill or the probate bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, it's also, the conference committee, at least I assume it passed the Senate as well, passed the House yesterday. so it should be on the governor's desk, I would guess. And I would think you would know probably by tomorrow whether he's going to sign it or not.
Madam Chair, I did hear a rumor today, probably third hand, that the governor was going to veto the pension bill.
This is not in the pension bill.
It's not in the pension bill?
No, it's in a probate, probate and trust.
So then we should be okay.
I think you should.
I will.
Signs that are vetoes that we can add.
Sign after my.
Add it.
Hey, adding to my motion then, House Article 3, Sections 4, 24, 25, and 26.
Okay, and can I now ask Ms. Zoff and Mr. Michael, is there anything else that you see or you want to tell us before we would vote on this? Mr. Michael? Or?
Well, the one thing I will. Do we do this?
Yeah, he just did that.
Yeah, the one thing I will point out is that on the last page on Article 11, Section 4, that fee for payment agreements is a revenue raiser. So, like the REIT, that will raise money.
Proposal.
So, if you don't want to.
Mr. Michael, is that the governor's proposal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Do you think it's okay to keep it in? Okay. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, if not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the Marquardt motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. The Marquardt motion is adopted. Okay, so do you want to go through similar now, or what do you want to do?
You
want to stay on the sheet? Okay, so I don't know if folks have this at all, but for I think what we're going to do now, because we were able to get the same out of the way, is go back to the similar. And if they're close, maybe we could just decide all together. And if they're going to take some work, then we could maybe ask different members to work on them and direct staff to work some things out, if that's okay. So I think the first one is the manufactured homes. Is that right? Is that... You got, if staff wants to walk through the similars now.
Right.
This was.
No, it wasn't my bill.
There's some property tax impacts here.
Yeah. Well, I do over it.
Ms. Zoff, did you want to talk to us about the first one? And Ms. Baker, Ms. Zoff?
Right. Madam Chair, members, the significant difference in the manufactured home co-op provision is that the Senate added a provision that in order to qualify for the 0.75% rate, there would have to be at least 50% owner occupancy in the manufactured home co-ops.
Okay, that's it. Senator Skoy and Representative Marquardt. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason that we did that is because there could conceivably be a few owners that would be shareholders in the cooperative, and just renting the majority of the units out. And we thought that in order for them to get that preferential rate, they ought to be the majority of the shareholders, would also be occupiers as well, owners.
Representative Marquardt.
Yeah, Madam Chair, and that's right. I don't think that's a big concern. I've talked to the folks, and we wanted to leave our bill clean, but I certainly, if you want to make that motion, I'd
certainly. Yeah.
Representative Marquardt.
Senator Bach. Senator Skoy could.
I'm fine with the Senate language if that's what Representative Marquardt's intent is.
Madam Chair, and members, the only thing is maybe the department may want to weigh in as to whether or not then they'd have two class rates for this small class, because they'd have to look at these co-ops and see which ones qualified for the 0.75 and which ones didn't. And I don't know, because this was never raised as an issue over in the House, and it would only be for complexity to have two different rates that exist for these co-ops.
Senator Bach, I think we know the standard revenue line here, right? Of course they don't want to have you know, good policy means you don't have these complications, but if it's just a couple of them, and I think Senator Skoy.
Well, Madam Chair, we can certainly hear from the department, but they were in committee when we discussed this and didn't raise an issue, but we'd
Mr.
certainly like to hear from
them. Sure. Madam Chair, Jason Nord from the Department of Revenue. You're right. Normally we would make a case about complexity, but in this case, since it's tying out to existing classifications and it's really straightforward, the complexity concern isn't really there for this one. And we did talk to Senator Skoy about this and the interest groups as well, and I think we're fine with either provision.
Senator Skoy.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll move section article or Senate article.
Madam Chair, we'll need to talk about fiscal impacts. This one in particular has a negligible fiscal impact, but it is on the spreadsheet. So
ETR.
Negligible.
What's negligible? Just the words negligible?
Yeah, literally.
That's a zero. Senator Skoy.
I'll move Senate Article 4, Section 2226, Part, whatever the part means.
Okay, on the Skoy motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. Skoy motion's adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rust.
Where is that on the spreadsheet?
Does Ms. Von Mosch or Ms. Schill want to tell us the line on the spreadsheet that was just being referenced that says negligible, the number? Okay. Senator Rest? Answered? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Next is small ends. You know, should we hold on that? I think that's going to generate a lot of debate. That's probably not for tonight.
I agree.
Okay. So we're going to skip small ends. And I don't know what the next one is. Floor. That one. That's probably fairly controversial with governor input, don't you think? Levy limits, IPD.
Well,
this is okay, Assistant Commissioner Cadoon. You want to tell us what the governor might think about putting a floor on the IPD for levy limits? And this is the one where you're not being forcing folks to go below zero.
Right, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Cadoon with the Department of Revenue. I haven't specifically talked to the governor on this provision, but I would expect. That the if there would be any floor, it would probably prefer at the 0% level versus higher.
Representative Marquardt.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And you know, the idea of putting a floor in is, in fact, there is a ceiling because it's the IPD or 3.9. So we're feeling the governor can set a ceiling, we can set a floor, and so I'm hoping the governor would see to it on this.
And Senator Skoy, what's the difference with Representative Marquardt's? Are you the? I assume you have the. You're the author on the other side.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't know exactly what the difference between the two language are, but this 1.17 is the number that the department calculated they would be at about a month ago, and I think they've calculated that out, and it's actually a little above that now.
Ms. Daltner, Ms. Zoffer, is there a better? Between House Research and Senate Counsel that you think is a better way to do it?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for pay 2011, it will not matter because the latest measurement of IPD is 1.68, which is higher than either of them. It's just really an ongoing issue. If levy limits are reimposed, do you want a floor that's greater than zero?
Into the future. I don't know, do the property tax chairs have a thought on, do you want to take a, you know, set the policy for the future? So depending on, you know, what, look into your crystal ball and guess who the next governor is and what they might think, Senator Skoy.
Madam Chair, I assume Representative Marquardt's the author and I'm the author, so obviously we thought it was a good idea at the time.
But what about what going forward? What do you want to do? Not just for this year. If levy limits were
change
to come back,
dates.
If somebody else put levy limits back on, what language works better?
0 or 1.17?
Yeah, zero, right? I don't know.
Madam Chair, they're always going to wonder where that 1.17 came from 20 years from now. They're going to wonder. I like, you know, I always like nice round numbers. A zero is nice and simple and round and...
Madam Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Madam Chair, we could go to 1.5. That would be below 1.68. It's a nice round number.
Madam Chair, this might be... You know, Senator Pogemiller says once in a while, wouldn't it be nice if we all were able to do something that we would be remembered for? And 1.17 might be the Dimmler amendment for Scoy.
Never know.
Someday it might matter.
Center rest.
Won't matter.
You want to wait, or you want to just decide?
Well, I guess, Madam Chair, it doesn't matter for the current levy limits that exist in current law, correct? Right. So is there a reason we have to do anything?
Well, they're doing it for this year, right?
Well,
apply
for this year.
That's this year.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think the reason this was brought forward is, again, because this limit was put on the cap last year of 3.9%. And previously, there had been no cap at all. It would be whatever the IPD had been. And there was some concern at some point that we could potentially go to a negative IPD, which would have actually caused local governments to have had to reduce their levies. So that's, you know, what number you use is really up to you, but I think it was to basically a saying that nothing would go negative.
Well, if inflation went negative.
Except that it doesn't, the levy limits are going to expire.
But going forward, you'd set a precedent. Ms. Dalton, how many years of the last 20 years have we had levy limits?
Madam Chair, actually, I'm not really sure I can give you the answer. They came off in 1994, and they were off for most of the 90s, and they've been on for most of the 2000s.
So they'll be back, probably.
I mean, the other alternative that you could do, which, again, would have absolutely no impact on this year's levies projection, would be to remove the cap. Go back to what the old law was.
Trying to get the bill signed. Senator Rest. Senator Scoy, what do you think? Senator Moi, what do you think? You got the votes. Here's. And then just set precedent going forward.
All right.
Representative Marquardt.
Other House provision?
Madam Chair, since the last one was a Senate provision we accepted, I will move the House position on this one.
Okay, does everyone understand the Marquardt motion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The Marquardt motion is adopted. What next? Ms. Baker.
Madam Chair, members, the next section has to do, there is... on the House article, it's sections 22 and 25, and these are provisions on electronic property tax payments, and they were brought to us by the counties, and in particular Hennepin County, and it really is getting at the authorization for them to accept the automated clearinghouse transactions and federal wires, and right now they can get checks, but they can't with the authorization that's in law use those other methods. And then in addition to that, the charges for these dishonored payments, if in fact somebody has a charge and that charge bounces back and they have to charge like a $30 fee or whatever the fee is for the dishonored payment, what this does is it allows them to, they can add it to the tax, but it constitutes a lien and also when it's collected, it's distributed to the county. So it's not part of the property tax. This is a way of them collecting, because these dollars right now, it's not very efficient if they have a $30 fee for them to go after somebody for this $30 fee. And so this way it gets put on. And the Senate language, although it's different, the reason it's different is because the House language, or the House language, came in later, and we had worked on it, and Ms. Zoff didn't get it in time when she was working on the bill. So I think, you know, the issue here is if the lien is something that the Senate doesn't like, but I think that is their way of saying we can put it on as a lien so that we can collect it. So.
Senator Skoy.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I wasn't tracking what.
Well, Representative Marquardt, maybe.
Well, Madam Chair, as Ms. Baker explained, you know, the House is different because we redistribute the payments, and it's kind of a lien and redistribute that, and I don't know if the Senate likes that or not, but whatever your feelings would be.
Mr. Chair, whose bill was this in the Senate?
This is Senator Scheid's. And
Senator
it's Dietrich's.
Yeah.
And we know it's Representative Dietrich. I mean, do you? Senator Skoy, what do you think? Do you care about one or the other?
No, Madam Chair. The only difference is a little bit on the dishonored payment, huh? Right.
The lien. All right. Mm-hmm. Senator Rest?
I just want to understand that. So in the House provision, the amount of dishonored charge, as it were, becomes part of the property tax. Is that correct?
No.
Lena.
Well, it's
Ms. Zoff. Ms. Zoff, did you?
It says it's added to the tax.
Madam Chair.
The amount is added to the tax, and thereby there's a lien on.
Can I ask Ms. Zoff and Ms. Baker, what page of the side-by-side are we all looking at here?
Madam Chair, it's on page 7. Okay. And what had happened, the sequence of events is what Ms. Baker had said. This had come from Hennepin County. They were seeking some, you know, verification of their process. And we had worked with them on an amendment. And then the day that the bill was coming before the Senate Tax Committee, they had suggested some additional language, but we didn't have time to incorporate that language. So this is what the advocates, what's in the House bill is what the advocates would prefer at this point.
Senator Rest.
So if we didn't do the House provision, what happens to the charges for the dishonored payment in the Senate?
Ms. Zoff.
Without that additional thing of becoming a lien on the property, what happens?
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, if I can jump in while Ms. Zoff is looking for. What I was told is one of the primary things here is for the county to be efficient on collecting these. And if you have like a $30 charge and you can't collect it, then how much time do you want to spend to collect it? This is one way for them to say, if you don't pay it, we can just put it on as another lien, you know, just put it on the records so that when the property tax is paid at some point,
so
or when
do.
Or when
the
and if in
and
fact
Senate
you don't do that, the Senate language doesn't do that. Right. And then in addition, this is an administrative cost, and so it's not distributed in the normal property tax manner because the county gets it all because it's totally administrative. And so they don't want it to be part of the property tax distribution like the county, city, school, town, and everything. They want
it. They do all the work.
Right. They do all the work because this is strictly administrative. So I think the House language definitely is what the county prefers unless, you know, the Senate has a problem with.
And, Madam Chair, Senator Rest, the Senate language had made this mandatory. The House language is permissive for the counties. And rather than spreading it out among all the taxing jurisdictions in very small amounts, it can go just to the county that's doing the work to collect it.
Senator Rest, you have a motion then?
Yes.
Okay,
Senator.
Yes, Senator Skoy. Okay, so Senator Rest moves the House provision in that on
okay.
that item.
On 122 and
25. Okay. Did everyone get that? I think Senator Rest's microphone is really far away from her.
Yeah.
Did you want to say that again? For the tape.
Shall I whisper? Madam Chair, I would move House provision in Article 1, Sections 22 and 25 with regard to electrosonic property tax payment.
Okay, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The rest motion is adopted. Ms. Baker.
The next provision has to do with special taxing districts being listed separately on the tax statement. And in the House, it is just provided that every special taxing district is listed separately. And I think it was brought up that that is a real issue. And working with the department, one of the options was to say, let's delay it until pay 2012 to give the county some time to look at it to see what kind of issues and if the property tax statements had to be changed. And so the House did not have any provision on a certain threshold like the Senate did, but did delay it for a year.
Madam Chair, we kind of thought that there are places around the country that have, I think we heard up to like a dozen different special taxing levies. It just kind of, I think we thought that in order to accommodate what might be a growing number of them, there might not be room on the statement. That's why we kind of limited it to the more significant ones were the ones we would itemize, and the other smaller ones under a quarter would just be in kind of lumped in a category how they currently are today.
So, Mr. Chair, so just to understand the Senate provision a little bit, is it so you'd take, you know, you'd get, say you live in the metro, you'd get, you know, the hand of the county, the school, the city, you'd get the Met Council would make it in, but you're getting down to like in mosquito control districts and watersheds, is that nature A's, is that what you're trying to?
Yeah. We're trying to minimize the itemization of all the very small levies.
So our provision says if a particular one is more than 25%, it gets separated, it gets stated separately. But for those that are less than 25% of the levy, then they are put on a single line. So that if something is really standing out as levy, regional rail authority or
whatever,
that would get separately stated.
So the bar is 25%? Then the Met Council wouldn't show up, right?
That's separate anyway.
Yeah, I don't know which one.
No, that's separate.
That seems pretty
is
high
it,
bar.
Was it, is it in the special levy category today, or is it a line on its own?
Well, I guess Representative Marquardt has a question, but I do want what are the ones that would be the that the consumer right now is getting to see pretty clearly and would go away? And I think the Met Council for over half of the Minnesota population, I think, would go away. And I'd, you know, that'd be one I'd be concerned about because that's an unelected body. So that'd be a really great deal. Don't stand for election and don't show your levy. That'd be a concern I'd have. But are there other obvious ones that would fall off? Aren't a lot of the cities less than 25%?
We took that out.
Just on the special taxing. Well, Met Council is a special.
Let's find out.
Madam Chair,
yes,
in the Senate version, we did leave the status quo for the locals, including the metro special taxing districts.
Okay.
The total of those districts will still be stated separately.
Okay.
As they are under current law. All the metros are placed
Mr. Hines,
in one, but
I'm
they're
sorry.
Stated separately from the other specials.
Okay, and I couldn't see Mr. Hines there. Mr. Hines, did you want to add, please?
Well, Madam Chair, I was trying to, I wasn't sure where the, who had said that the Met Council wouldn't qualify under this, because I'm not sure that it wouldn't, but it may be that it wouldn't, because the Met Council levy is fairly big in the metro area, but I guess when you think about all the special districts, I'm not sure. The Metro Transit is such a big levy that might sort of make the other percentages small, but
I think, Madam Chair, I think what Senate Council was saying is that we didn't do anything with those special authorized ones, the metropolitan ones. Is that
Ms. Off?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, under current law, the aggregate of the metro special taxing districts that's already stated separately, and this doesn't change that. This would just apply to the other special taxing districts. So that for any of those, and the example that was used by Senator Roebling was the watershed district, which was pretty significant, that something like that, if it exceeds 25% of the sum of all the other special taxing districts, that would have to be separately stated.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make sure I'm correct on this. So, you know, the county and the city or the township and the school, that would be put off to the side. It's
okay.
Special districts.
Just
and I know one of the concerns are the number of lines. So at 25%, the most lines you could possibly have would be four. You know, our stance was we had no minimum threshold, so every single one. So I'm looking if we could, you know, we probably have space for a couple more if we could lower that to 15%. So, you know, under the 25, and the max could be six lines. But I just, you know, the more transparency, I think, the better. And I'm just wondering if 25% might leave some out that should be in there.
Senator Rest.
Sure, that, but on the other hand, it would be more, it could be more than six lines because there are ones that are already going to be separated, that are going to be stated separately that Ms. Zoll did. It would be rest of them. So it might be as many as two or three. Remember what she said, but that would already be stated separately. So you could have 25% as many as eight lines with a 15% one because a couple of them are going to be there anyway, at least in the metropolitan.
Maybe we need to think about, I guess, I was just going to ask Mr. Hines.
I think we need a real-life example.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Maybe Mr. Hines or someone else could just tell us some egregious examples of what we're trying to correct here.
Madam Chair,
are there certain cities or places you could pull out where it's just getting crazy?
Well, Madam Chair, this it would be getting crazy if we put this in, perhaps. Is that because?
No. I mean,
right now there's places with, you know, eight special taxing districts, and they're only showing up as two lines.
Right.
So it's not like things are getting crazy, but it's just a lack of information.
So it's actually
in the way we have it now.
Adding.
You get more information under this change.
Okay. So
what,
you're adding.
Well,
that's good.
Madam Chair, this might be a time to go to the department for some input on this, but one complication of this is how do you determine where this 25% comes in? Because there are actually 6,000 or so unique areas in the state that have a different mix of local taxes, and you'd have to compute this so that you could even get it to where some part of Minneapolis, even within the city of Minneapolis, there's a different special taxing districts because of different watershed districts. So the computations of doing the denominator calculation might be complicated. Mr. Nord might have some thoughts on that.
Mr. Nord, would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, yes. As Mr. Hines said, I believe it'd be actually a programming difficulty to strictly implement the 25% threshold because you'd have to calculate that UTA by UTA. And there are 56 different UTAs that have at least nine special taxing districts. And I think nine is the most. And there are, I think, a couple of hundred that have at least six special taxing districts. So to actually program the threshold in the Senate language, I think would be difficult for the counties to strictly adhere to. But if it's permissive and they want to program that and they want to do that, it could help minimize the impact on the tax statement. But I anticipate we would need to redesign the tax statement in either case. And so the delayed effective date would be greatly appreciated so we could work out the technical issues, whether or not you keep the Senate threshold or change the Senate threshold or not.
Anybody have a thought on this?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Roebling's point was that the dollars are getting to be quite significant when you accumulate all these special taxing districts, and people want to know where their property tax dollars are going, and we thought we would make an effort to try to make that clear.
Ms. Baker.
Madam Chair, maybe if you decide you want to go some route, maybe delaying it 1 year is worth a lot just because it gives the department and the county some chances to figure out what is the problem and, you know, issues and how they can deal with it. So whatever you decide, if you want to go this route, that it's delayed.
Senator Rest.
In the House provision, is that I'm looking at that. side by side summary. Is it a requirement as it is in the section 13 for the Senate?
It's a must.
Representative Marquardt.
It is must. Okay.
Yes,
so
must.
On both of them, it's
yes.
must.
Maybe we should
it's
think
discretionary.
Yeah. Maybe we should just think about this for a little bit. I guess I'm not really reacting to the percentages amount as the, you know, the counties, the schools, and the cities are elected, and they stand for election as it relates to those decisions. All these other things, I mean, I can't think of a one that's elected. You know, transit, Met Council, watersheds, mosquito control district, HR. These generally are not elected people. And I think it is something that, you know, you think about it, you know, the locals take the heat for all the tax increases, but some chunk that can be pretty significant is really not their doing. So trying to get that information out there, I think, is important, where when no one's really standing for election for all those levies that are going on. You know, they're really, it's us. You know, we're the ones who are allowing them. We're giving them the law. And they're not in my city. They're appointed by the city council.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were elected officials.
In my city, watershed officers are elected by, or are not elected, they are appointed by the city. I think in greater Minnesota, they tend to be county appointees. In the cities, they tend to be city council appointees, and they don't stand for election.
And they're not on the city council.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. So you don't get that accountability where you can come in and vote them out if you don't like what they're doing.
Madam Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Could staff or the department tell me what would be the most special taxing districts that, like, Minneapolis would have or someplace? What would be the most special districts?
The most special, like a compliment? The most special.
I mean,
Mr. Nord, do you have a...
That we could see on a proper
Senator Ress called it the most precious.
Madam Chair, Representative Marquardt, the largest number of special taxing districts in any one spot is 9, and that's in many places.
I think it's in my city, too.
Mr. Nord, what would those be? Some of those.
Madam Chair, Representative Marquardt, a lot of it is EDAs and HRAs and ambulance districts and service districts and hospital districts, mosquito control, a lot of the different Met Council pieces. There's a lot.
What do you guys want to do? Think? Okay, we're going to hold on this. Is that okay? Okay.
Why don't we decide?
Well,
Madam
Senator,
Chair,
if the property tax chairs can make a decision on this and we can all be with that, that's good. But what do you think, Senator Spice?
Madam Chair, why don't we take the House language on the year delay and the Senate language on the 25%, which will narrow up the number of lines a little bit.
Madam Chair, I mean, that could be a start. I just think the more transparency, the better. I'd like to put all 9 lines on there. But I know that might be a problem. But I just think we can't be too transparent. And I think with the 25%, there still may be 3 or 4 on there that people would be interested in seeing. And as the chair mentioned, I mean, these are probably not elected. And yet they're showing up on your tax form. And so I don't know what the happy medium is. I think this might be a good start.
So that folks who want to do it all can.
Madam Chair, anything we add is going to be more information than we currently have. And when you get below the 25% of the total number, the dollars get to be relatively small. We're trying to focus on the relatively large dollar blocks.
Representative Marquardt, okay, so the hearing center is going, I don't think they're saying, are you guys saying you're going to remove some lines or not? I think Representative Marquardt wants to keep all the lines there are. And you do, too. You're just adding your...
Well, Madam Chair, currently there's 1 line. And we're taking the 1 line and dividing it out so you would get potentially 4 lines.
Okay, this is where I'm confused, because in my city there isn't 1 line. I think there's 9 lines. And we're actually seeing them all right now in the city of Bloomington, for example. Mr. Nord? Are we getting different kinds of statements depending where we live?
Madam Chair, Representative Nunchesky, I think they should all be the same. And if I remember correctly, there should be two. There's one for the Met Council line, the sum of the Met Council items, and then on all other special taxing districts. And so I guess one question would be to clarify if that 25% threshold, if that is only relating to the special taxing districts other than the Met Council grouping, or...
Mr. Nord, is it permissive that some are adding more? Because I know mine is more, and I know there's someone in this room who I won't name who gets a tax increment finance district on their line. Or an, I mean, I just... It's, it, yeah. I mean, maybe you can help me understand.
Sure. Madam Chair, I think the way the law is phrased, I believe, says what must be shown, but it doesn't say that other detail can't be shown. So so that's why some jurisdictions may be shown separately. But generally, there's not a lot of room on the tax statement. And if they're following the state instructions, then they shouldn't be showing that. But not everybody follows instructions.
You guys want to do? Decide? Do you want to wait? What do you want to do? I think they don't agree.
Well, Madam Chair, as long as we're keeping the ones already on there, I think Ms. Zoff mentioned those would stay on, and make it a must, so we would have to put that on there. I guess, you know, 25% would still be adding more that are on there now. I'm just wondering, would you be amenable to lowering that a little bit to 15%, for example?
Sorry, which
may get a few more on there.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe if this works so well, we can take another run at it. We had some discussion in committee about this, that it would get to be quite a bit to try to add, so we thought this was a compromise, that we would get the information on the larger dollar lines and not worry about the real small ones.
Okay, so Representative Marquardt, you want to make a motion here?
Madam
incorporating
Chair,
all these
I will
ideas?
Madam,
could I interject?
Mr. Hines, please.
Representative Marquardt, I think the way the Senate language is, though, you should know that the Met Council ones would not be separately itemized under their language.
We need that.
Right?
We got to have that.
They'd be clustered together.
They're clustered together in one.
So you wouldn't have a separate itemization of the Met Council and
huge.
The Transit District and the Mosquito Control. Yeah. Those would be lumped together.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no. That was my understanding of
it. But
we don't want that.
Just
with the special.
Well, Madam Chair, can we hear from Senate Council? Let's hear from Senate Council.
Yes, please, Ms. Zoff, please.
Madam Chair, Senator Buck, that is current law. We left the metro agencies the way they currently are, that all of the metro agencies do have to be state. They are aggregated, and then there's a separate line for all metro agencies.
But
so
Mr. Chair,
changed.
But they're aggregated, you just said.
Yes. Well, they are currently.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know what the people in my city are doing, but they're not doing that. Because we actually read it straight up. Met Council, Watershed, Mosquito Control. And I like that. So maybe the folks that I'm living can't follow instructions. But I like the fact that they can't, because we actually are getting them delineated. And it does allow you to see, you know, where the money's going. Well, we should require it.
We're kind of heading on that direction.
You know, the Met Council spends a lot of money every year.
But we didn't change. We didn't change that.
Well,
you can change it.
Okay.
You want to modify that?
So, Mr. Nord, the Met Council is not required to be its own line right now, and anybody who's doing it is just doing the taxpayers an extra favor locally.
Madam Chair. If my memory is correct, that's true, that we asked that the metropolitan special taxing districts all be grouped on one line and then one for all other. But I can follow up with you tomorrow on that and be sure. And one other item for consideration is if the Senate side wishes to have a threshold to limit the number of lines showing, it might be better to just state the number of minimum number of lines you want to show, because the percentage calculation could be really tricky to program. So it might be better to identify it as a number of lines.
Unless they only have three districts, I'm going to do three or something. I can do that.
You guys want to do
that? Gets at your thing.
Representative Loeffler, what do you think? Your mic. We're never talking about this again.
since we don't have the information on what actual statements might do, I was thinking you could say like the top five largest, rather than as a percentage, because if you had five that were all at 20%, you'd list all five, then where none of them would be at the 25% threshold.
Senator Russ, what do you think? Representative Coonan, got a thought on this? I don't think we know here. Representative Coonan, what do you want to do?
Madam Chair, if your city's listing nine or whatever, obviously there's room on the state. I mean, I kind of like the idea of listing everything.
Senator Moi, should we do homework? Should we all go home, get our statements, and bring them in? And then look at what we can black out, you know, what we pay if people are uncomfortable with that. But
begin then on Friday, so I can have time to get home.
We have, Senator Skoy, there's things like fax machines. We can call your county. I bet they'd get it for us.
You know, Madam Chair, I'm fortunate now. My wife has been spending some time in St. Paul with me, so she wouldn't be home to man the fax machine. I would have to make the trip.
Are you in Nomen County?
Close. Clearwater.
Clearwater, I think we could call them. I think they could send a copy down. I don't think we're ready to decide, so I think we should move on. And can we just take a break here? I don't think we're going to go that much longer. The House has to debate the K-12 bill unless there's been word that we're not. I don't. Sorry? Okay, we don't know when we're going back in, but eventually. Can we ask the commissioner to come and speak to us for a minute? And welcome Senator Senjum and Representative Erdahl. We're glad you're here. And what we did early is we adopted all the same provisions, so you didn't miss any action there. Just ones that they're saying. We started on a few similars, and we've worked on a couple, but that's it. But I do think it'd be helpful, because it is Tuesday, for the commissioner to tell us early on, while we're all trying to figure things out here, what the governor's view is about this bill and things he likes and doesn't, things he wants and doesn't, just so we know, not because we're going to do that necessarily, but just so we know. But I do want to recall, Commissioner and conferees, we've had a really great year, Senator Bach. We have already had the governor sign three of our tax bills. Three. Haitian relief.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Cuts to aids and credits, which we weren't happy about, but we did our duty. And number three was what? The jobs bill. So we've had three tax bills signed by Governor Plenty, and I think we can get another one out of them here. What do you think, Senator Bach?
Madam Chair, we weren't the authors of the.
Well, we weren't. We weren't. But
I wasn't either.
We weren't.
Just a technical.
I'm not so anxious to want to have been the author.
Okay, we'll recede from that position. But I will say that of all those conferees, we showed up the least. We weren't really in the room, and we got done the fastest. We agreed very quickly and moved on.
Madam Chair, can I tell
Senator Bach?
Can I tell the conferees a little story from Senator Coonan's office? When Representative Lencheski and I were conferees on the earlier budget reduction bill, and I had protested with Senate leadership that I did not want to be included in the bill with all of the spending cuts. And I told Senator Pogemiller, I said, Senator Pogemiller, we're going to get to a point in that conference committee where they're not going to be able to make the cuts that they committed to make. And by having the Senate aids and credits in there, they are going to ask us to raise our target in order to meet the overall target, because they won't be able to get it out of the spending side. So Representative Lencheski and I were called in at Senator Cohen's office after they had met a couple times. And Representative Carlson, I believe it was, said, well, we're having trouble with this. It was a fee that they
mutual
had.
Mutual fund fee.
Mutual fund fee that they had scored $25 million with, that, which was hardly a cut, but they scored the fee somehow as a cut. They track money pretty interestingly in the finance committees. And when the governor objected to their fee, guess what they asked the Senate tax chairs to do? Could you cut another $25 million in aids and credits so that we could get our bill in balance? And we resisted.
You prevailed.
And prevailed. Didn't we do that?
We prevailed.
We prevailed.
You were louder.
We prevailed.
Yes, that's
but I
true.
Was, but my intuition was correct. It's very dangerous to be in a budget reduction bill if you have a tax target in there.
It's true. Commissioner, can you talk to us about this bill? Pieces that you're interested in, the governor might be interested in, stuff you like. There's a lot of department provisions in here. So, right. Commissioner Ines, welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's good to be here again. Ward Ines with the Department of Revenue. I had what I would call a fairly brief meeting with the governor and some of his staff today, rather cursory meeting to go over some of the provisions in this bill. It was by no way a comprehensive, provision by provision analysis of the bill or anything, but I wanted to flag a few issues for him and get some feedback so I could relay that information to you. He showed the strongest interest in doing any of the tax increases that are in the bill. I know they're modest tax increases. That includes the REIT, I think on both House and Senate side. I think the Senate side has the LLC provision. I think the sales tax change and how the auto repairs is imposed. He showed no interest, in fact, strong opposition to including any of those in a tax bill. He also had some concerns about the local option sales taxes. I don't think anything real new as far as an imposition of a new local option sales tax would require a local referendum, but he also thought extension of an existing sales tax, like the Proctor example in the Senate bill, Senator Bach, would also require a referendum in his mind. Also, and this is a departure from past practice, is the food and beverage taxes. Have never been, we've never required referendum on those, but he also felt relatively strongly about imposing a referendum requirement for the food and beverage local option taxes as well. Beyond that, the bill in our mind is relatively modest. It has a lot of the department's provisions. I haven't had a chance to talk to Commissioner Hansen. I've been trying to get hold of him. I think he's been tied up in some of the negotiations regarding some of the issues regarding the cash flow provisions. I know there's some issues with the accelerated sales tax payment, so we're trying to work those through. We appreciate you on both bodies putting the department's articles in there. We think these are important things. They obviously don't rise to a first tier level of importance. They're not actually must-haves if we're going to continue doing our job at the Department of Revenue, but we really appreciate you including those provisions in the bill. Those were the primary issues of contention. I tried to make it clear to him that most of the rest of the issues were local in nature, didn't impose any additional state taxes. I think there'll be some concern about maybe the levy limit change. I think it's relatively irrelevant at this point because I think we know what the implicit price deflator is going to be. But I think we would feel strong. We would prefer the House position on that, which I think was zero, rather than the 1.17 in the Senate bill. But beyond that, I think I'm not going to say there's not other issues that might come to light as this conference committee does its work. But I tried to do my best to flag the issues I know that would be prominently on his radar screen when reviewing the bill. And I think that was his initial feedback.
Senator Bach?
Madam Chair, Commissioner, maybe you could get the governor's opinion on a couple of the Senate provisions that I have some interest in that I don't believe the House has in their bill. The Goodrich provision for the economic development project down in Burnsville, I believe. I'd be interested to know if the governor is interested in that. And then I'd be interested in knowing what the governor thinks about the Senate provision relative to Job Z, where businesses that did not meet their employment numbers in 2009 are effectively, because of that, going to be out of Job Z. Their Job Z agreement is going to be avoided by deed. They'll be out of the program. I believe we heard testimony that were like 40 businesses that were going to be removed from the Job Z program as a result of not meeting their employment levels for 2009. That was a Fischbach bill in the Senate, Senator Fischbach's provision. And it does come at a cost. I think we all need to be honest about that if we were going to do that, if we thought keeping those 40 businesses in the Job Z program, we'd have to be willing to cover the cost of doing that. So I'd be interested in knowing if the governor was willing to raise any revenue, even if it offset some Job Z costs in keeping those 40 businesses in the program.
Commissioner. Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I can say at this time, I know he's supportive of both the Jobsy extension and the Goodrich provision. He is supportive of those provisions. It is a question. You're absolutely right, Senator Bach. It's a question about how we're going to pay for it. And all I can tell you is that today's relatively cursory meeting, he was not interested in those provisions that are currently in the bill that are paying for it, the LLC, the REIT. And so and I can revisit that issue with him. Those are important. I know the Goodrich provision is outside our fiscal horizon on the sheets. And I'd like to do a little more discussion with Deed as well. I know they've scored it based on what their assumption that there's 40 businesses that would take advantage of that extension. I wondered if there's a way we can winnow that down to make it a little more surgical, because we know the reason it's in the bill is because Columbia Gear came in. And Columbia Gear is a business that I think has really used the jobs it was intended to be used. They've been in high compliance for the entire duration, other than this small window where the economy really hammered them. So we're supportive of that provision. We'd like to make it broader, but I know the cost constraints are fairly severe. So we may have to talk with our friends at Deed and see if we can winnow it down. But he is supportive, Senator Bach, of those two provisions. And he knows the constraints you guys are under in this committee as far as finding resources to pay for.
Senator Ress, please.
So if we adopted the Senate provision, which is to keep them in the program, that would cost the state
a lot of money.
$1.4 million, is that correct?
And over time, a lot more.
And if we let them go, because this is a free market enterprise kind of place here, we wouldn't have that cost, right? We'd be gone.
Else is comfortable with not with
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, right.
We wouldn't have that cost at all.
Other questions from other conferees for the commissioner while he's here? Senator Senjum or Representative Erdahl, you got any things you really want to hear from the governor on that's in this bill or you wish were, you wish weren't?
I'll just float something out there.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one situation that's been brought to my attention from just a little south of me. Hutchinson would like a local option sales tax. And just like you to consider areas like Hutch, which have had a problem with loss of employment in their area, with Hutch Tech using a lot of water, and suddenly, because of their cutbacks, they're no longer using that water. Now the taxpayers have to pay for it. And that's the genesis of Hutchinson wanting a local option sales tax.
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl. I should refresh my memory, but I believe the Hutchinson sales tax actually requires a local referendum. So I don't think I flagged that as an issue that would be a problem for the governor. So I think that meets all the requirements.
Okay, others? Senator Senjum, tracking anything? Anybody else?
Here, I'm fine.
I'm going to ask Senate Counsel and House Research if there's anything you want us to talk about before we adjourn. We're going to adjourn. House is on the floor, so we're going to be done tonight. Is there anything? Is there anything, Ms. Zoff or Mr. Michael, that you could see that would be worth Senator Bach and I asking a few members to work with you on between now and, you know, anything we can kind of work to get out of the way? Senator Bach, you have anything? Anyone? Okay, we're going to adjourn. Senator Bach, when do you want to meet tomorrow? Or you want to play it? What are you thinking?
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know what the session, I don't know what the session schedule is yet, but I guess let me... 11 for the Senate? I don't think there's a lot of point. I think we're probably going to caucus before that. So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of point in coming, having everybody come in and then just kind of hastily probably end up recessing. So why don't we kind of tentatively say a half hour after the last body adjourns, tentatively at least, and see kind of how the day goes. And if it... looks like we can do something earlier than that. If there's a longer House or Senate recess, maybe we can move that out.
Can I also just say, is it okay to leave everything here? Or
This room's yeah. locked.
Is that okay?
Right?
We're good, Chris? Okay.
This room
so
will
Mr.
be locked.
Mr. Rundquist said we can just leave everything here. Unless there's something else, member, or we're adjourned.